in the new, brand new episode of Cafe with Developers. Right now it will be more with DataSense, so I'm glad to welcome David here. So David, can you introduce yourself a little bit also for our audience that they will know you better?
Yes, of course. So my name is David. I am a lead data scientist at Deutsche Telekom, and I'm currently working on a platform called iChange. It's a self-developed platform where we are utilizing different AI approaches in order to simplify ITSM or IT system management.
Okay, so we had here many roles which are working in the IT field, but you are second data scientist here. So can you also introduce us what is your daily work? What is like, because maybe like usual colleagues can or people can say that data science is just writing the Pythons, working with some models. Everybody knows ChatGPT, but what actually data scientists are doing?
Yeah, so it's a tricky question to answer. What is maybe like a daily routine of data scientists, because we are actually doing a lot of stuff. So it's easier to answer it as a weekly routine.
Okay.
And basically, if I should start with some general description, then data scientist is someone who has a mathematical background and maybe also computer science background, and who is able to analyze, aggregate, or transform data, and also describe the phenomena around the data, and then prepare machine learning or deep learning solutions that are able to derive the added value to the business or to the end customers. So maybe you have come across the picture over the internet that depicts the data science hierarchy of needs. And it is basically a pyramid with multiple layers, and within each layer there are different roles. So for example, we have a data scientist or data analyst there who are supposed to prepare data and data sets for machine learning and deep learning engineers who are preparing machine learning deep learning solutions. Then we have also data engineers who in general are responsible for reliable data availability, for example preparing data pipelines or streaming pipelines. And we also have software developers who are in general responsible for deployment of those solutions to the end customers or to the business.
And probably integration.
Yes. And the reality is that we as a data scientist are doing a bit of everything. So one day I'm preparing and analyzing data, building a data sets. Next day I'm modeling solution and training it. Very next day I'm co-working with the data engineers, creating data pipelines. And in parallel, I'm also building frameworks, which basically allows us to deploy our solutions. So at the end, I'm working also on the deployments. And on the top of that, since I am a lead data scientist, I am also responsible for my own product, where I have my own team of data scientists. So I have to oversee their work, prepare tasks for them, also prepare the roadmap for the product and maybe overall vision of the product. And what we are also doing is that we are trying to attend different events such as AI conferences, where I'm trying to not only market our solution, but also to share awareness about AI to the people and maybe tell them two important things. The first is that they should use AI whenever they can in their work, if possible, because it can help them to be more effective and help in their daily work. And also there is a second message, and this is that AI is not only about Gen AI or large language models, solutions like ChatGPT or Gemini, but there are huge amount of different solutions that can be used whenever in business or in personal use.
Okay, so but I'm assuming that you didn't born with all this knowledge in your head. How you learn all those things? How you became lead data scientist in the Deutsche Telekom?
So it all started at university, where I have started the applied mathematics. This helps me a lot later on during PhD studies when I was started to be interested in AI or machine learning and deep learning solutions. And later on, when I started at the Deutsche Telekom, basically it started with the hackathon, where we have won with the idea of anomaly detection solution. And first I started to working on this as a side project, and it later on evolves into actual product we know today as a David solution.
Because in the nutshell, what was sounded here is that AI is not just ChatGPT. First thing. Second thing is that to become data science is not something which you can achieve in very short term. You need to study, and also I assume that you're always studying things, not just you studied. And now we can switch also to the work in our company, in Deutsche Telekom. It means that you mentioned that you work on the products called David. So it's some like very strange. So David works on the David, you know?
Yeah, that's actually the funny story, because when we developed it, we always referred to it as anomaly detection. So someone came one day and told us, you have to give it the name. So one of my colleagues came up with the idea, it's going to be called David. And now you, David, as a creator, you have to come up with the naming convention. Yeah. So basically it stands for detection of anomalies over investigated data.
Cool. Okay, David. So now, what is AI meaning for you?
Okay, so for me, the AI is a huge superset of different solutions, algorithms, or approaches, which can be described as François Hollet, a former Google employee, described it in one of his book. And it's basically an effort to automate intellectual tasks normally performed by people or humans. And if you really think about that description, then even an automated Excel sheet fits that, or early chess programs with hard-coded rules can fit that as well. So if you are looking for the solutions that are capable of learning, then you have to go to the subset called machine learning. And there are different categories as well, like unsupervised, supervised, self-supervised solutions, solutions like clustering, decision tree, and so on. But they are often referred as a shallow learning approaches, because they are able to learn one or maybe two layers of representations of the data. And if you need something more sophisticated, then you need to go to the yet another subset called deep learning, where those solutions, when we talk about them, it's almost always about neural network, different types of them, different architectures. Those solutions are able to learn more layers of the representations of the data, therefore they are more sophisticated. But even in this subset, we have yet another, which is Gen AI. And here we know the solutions which basically stands on the part where large language models were developed. So what I'm trying to tell people is that even before large language models, we have developed solutions from the data, deep learning and machine learning areas, and they are still relevant even today. And maybe not all use cases needs to be solved with large language models, and sometimes you don't need to have a cannon to kill the rabbit.
For sure. It's true in every industry and in every problem. You already mentioned David's solution and ML detection. Where this is sitting in your graph, which you mentioned here?
Basically, we cover machine learning subsets, also deep learning subsets, and also part of the Gen AI, where we are using a sentence transformer language models, which basically has a core architecture which is used in today's large language models.
Okay, David. So now I am understanding it. And but what you can talk about really much more in the detail is what is the differences between the David and the market competitors, and also why we decide to invest our time and money to in-house development of this solution. So. Basically, this will be this why question, and also then maybe can you also show us how it works and how it's help our teams to do this anomaly detection, and also it stands for that it's something whether we are preventing the incidents happening or we are decreasing time for needed for the repair. So can you show us the workflow and also explain this why?
Of course, let's do it. Okay, so question, what is David? David is a detection of anomalies or investigated data, and it's basically an innovative AI-powered tool for anomaly detection. So to answer the question, how is David different, we can have two points of view. One, we can compare it to the typical or classical monitoring solutions. So within these solutions, you usually have to manually set up the thresholds. Those thresholds are fixed, or you have to create manually the rules for the alerting. And this can be problematic mainly when your environment is changing or is growing. So you have to always check those thresholds, check if those rules still applies, and it requires a domain knowledge to do so. In contrary, David is a AI-driven solution, and it can automatically learn behavior of data from given application, system, or environment, and is able to detect anomalies and anomalous patterns or events over the logs, or system logs or application logs, and also over the metrics. And very important is to say multiple metrics, which we are calling a multivariate time series detection problem. And because David is also built as a cloud solution, it is able to scale. And a very important thing is that it can also act as an early warning system. So when you have a typical monitoring solution, and for example, you have set a threshold for 90% when it comes to utilization of a CPU, then this one, this rule will basically send you alert only if you cross this fixed threshold. But having an early warning system can be also about having alerts when this CPU utilization is throttling, or it is going close to this 90% of usage. And sometimes even a 90% of usage can be okay. So we can have some kind of solution that is able to automatically learn the normal behavior of the operating systems. And then you don't need to set up the thresholds and some kind of manual rules, because system or David is able to automatically learn it. Before I continue, I have to somehow clarify what is anomaly in our case. It's always depending on the context and the usage and the use case we are trying to solve, but usually anomalies are also referred to as an error rare events or items or observations which are suspicious because they differ significantly from the standard behavior or normal operation of the system. And for example, it could be unexpected increase in API call failures or interrupt normal flow of the logs that are interrupted by error logs. And David is able to detect such a solution, and here is how. So there was also a question how David differs from the competitors on the market. So only very few competitors on the market are offering log anomaly detection. And if they do, what they are usually trying to do is to somehow count the logs or count the categories of logs based on severity, like error, warning, and info logs. And they are assuming that over a given period of a day, we should see the certain amount of the logs. And if this number is higher or lower than expected, then we have detected anomaly. But this is not always true, because let's have a special events like FIFA Championship or Black Friday, where you can have a higher load of logs on your system, or higher load of requests on your system, which results in higher load of logs. And you, as a person who understands the text, when you read those logs, you can see that those logs are completely normal. You just have a higher load of requests, and if your system is able to fulfill the requests, then it's everything okay. And that's why we have think about preparing a solution that is really able to understand the semantical context of the log messages. And therefore, we are decided to utilize natural language processing techniques. In this case, what we are using is a transformer language model, which has a very special architecture, and its core architecture is basically used in today's large language models. And those transformer models we are using to basically translate the text representation of the logs into the numerical representations, because computers and AI algorithms do not understand the text, but they understand the numbers. And depending on how these transformer models were pre-trained, they were pre-trained to the specific task, for example, sentence similarity comparison. And when we transform the logs into these numerical representations, we can compare them against the similarity. So for example, we can have a log which states system is reloading, which should be similar to the state system is upgrading or updating. And also, we should see a difference between interface is up and interface is down. So this is kind of a logic we are trying to use here, that we are trying to retrieve from the logs semantical information. And then we are using it in yet another deep learning solution. It's an autoencoder neural network. And in this case, we are training this autoencoder network over a data that express normal system behavior. This model is able, therefore, to learn how the normal system operation looks like. And basically, when we insert into the input some data, let's say they are expressing normal system behavior, at the opposite side, we have a reconstruction of this input. And since we used a normal data and it was trained on normal data, the reconstruction error will be low. And based on threshold, which is automatically calculated during the training, we can tell that input is anomalous or normal. So if we have something that is anomalous on the input, which was not previously used in the training data set, it should be different from the normal behavior, and this model will have difficulty to reconstruct this input. So it will reconstruct it with the high error, and therefore we can tell that we have an anomaly there. What we are also using, and it is not depicted here, is another machine learning model this time. It's it is used for parsing the logs and basically make logs more general. In that case, when you have a daily logs from the system and you can generalize them more, so for example you can remove the variable parts of these logs, now you see that those logs are reappearing in the cycles. That basically means that each system has its own unique logging pattern. And this is something which we can also input as information to this autoencoder model. And then this autoencoder model is able not only learn to detect problematic logs from the semantical context of view, but it is also able to take the context of logs messages, how they are coming in the sequences. Because David is not taking anomaly detection over single logs, but over the sequence of logs. Because if I show you one log, it tells you one information. But if I show you sequence of logs, it tells you a story, basically. Then when we take a look into another advantage of David, because we are understanding context of the logs and we are also understanding the logging patterns, then even an higher loads to the system and higher loads of the logs are not always the problem, if the context is okay and semantical context as well. What I can show you is also an innovative metric anomaly detection. In this case, we are using a multivariate system. And basically, we are using, again, autoencoder neural network, because we can fit different types of metrics into it. And a lot of the existing solutions on the market are using so-called univariate approach. Univariate means that one single trained model is able to detect anomalies over one single metric. So if you have 30 metrics in your system, you have to train, retrain, and maintain 30 models. But with multivariate approach, you just need one single model, because one single trained model is able to handle multiple metrics. And what is the biggest advantage here is that this multivariate model is able to learn not only individual behavior of each metric, but it is also able to learn how they are influencing each other. So if we can see on the picture, if we have models that are only seeing their single metric, they don't have idea about others' metrics. So if something change over this metric, they basically send us an anomaly alert. But if we have in context all of the metrics and we teach our models that such a situation, if we can see the change in all of the metrics is normal, then he is able to detect such a situation as normal behavior. Now we can take a look into how David looks like in reality. So this is a dashboard which is presented to each our customer. In the upper part, we can see a panel where we have a so-called mean square error score in a green line. This score is basically something like anomalous score of a given logs. And we have also depicted a threshold in red. And this threshold basically tell us that if the score is under the threshold, we have normal situation. If it is over, then we have anomaly detected. As you can see here in this example, we have detected a huge anomaly here. What you can see here are basically an anonymized logs, but they are derived from the productional system. So let's zoom in a little bit closer. So if I do this zooming, you can basically see that in the lower panel, the corresponding logs are listed, and we can see also the label anomaly. In case there is a zero, we have normal behavior. In case there is a one, we have anomalous behavior. So let's zoom in a little bit more because we have a lot of logs there. And as you can see, there are a lot of anomalies, a lot of errors, and a lot of warnings. But what is important to showcase here that even an info logs in this case are anomalous. And the reason is that we are not only considering the severity of the logs, because some of the existing solutions, when they saw the error and warning, it is automatically problem. But it is not true in reality, and sometimes even a normal logs, when we take a look into them at the first glance, they can seem to us normal. But if we take a look closer, we can see that those logs appears in some cycles, and here we have a logging pattern broken, which basically leads to the errors later on. And the very same applies to the errors. In this example, I can show you that here we have an error logs and warning logs as well. And this time they are not anomalous, because even an error logs could be part of normal system operations, and they do not have impact on a system. So we have another situation here where we have detected anomaly. So if I zoom in, we can see that there are a huge amount of errors, that some of the transactions were not successful. This is again showing the reality that not only semantic of the logs is in play, that we have an error, but also the logging patterns were broken here. But what I want to show in this example is that we have small detection even before this big anomaly arises. And if we zoom in again, we can see that there are info logs, but also ending up with the warnings later on, and it leads to the small errors. There were not a lot of errors there, but we can see clearly that such a behavior, because there was logging pattern broken, was detected. I think it is maybe more than 40 minutes before this big anomaly was detected. So the added value that David brings to the ITSM management is that we can use it as a frontier closest to the data, and it is able to detect anomalies and act as an early warning system. And if we can send notification about some system is starting to failing, or there is a minor problem appearing, then domain experts can have a time to fix the problem before it becomes significant. And this one basically lowers the response time to the problem, and also can save a lot of money because of system was shutting down. Last thing is that I want to show you a metric, anomaly detection. So again, the same situation. We have a first panel where we have a mean square error score depicted with the threshold again. But this time there are no logs, but there are metrics. As you can see, there are multiple of them. And as we are having a multivariate system, then it means that there is a single trained model that is detecting anomalies over this metrics. And we have two situations here. First situation is clearly visible because we have very, very high anomalous score here. And in this case, we can see that we have some peak over 500 HTTP status codes. There is decrease in system load and system CPU. But what is also very important, we can see peaks over Kubernetes pod restarts. and Kubernetes pod terminations. So in reality, there was a big issue over the platform. So as the Kubernetes pods restart, and we saw also termination of the pods, we saw decrease in the system load CPU as well, and it results into 500 HTTP status problems. And we have yet another situation here, because there are two very important metrics. One is Kubernetes pods restarts and Kubernetes pods termination. If we see the terminations or restarts of the pods, it is always a warning sign. But in this case, the system which we have derived this metrics from, they have also yet another metric which called node statuses. And this basically tell us that how many nodes are in use in the Kubernetes. So in case where we had anomalies, we didn't have change in Kubernetes node statuses, but we had the change here in this situation where we had also pod restarts and termination. And this system is configured when there is a planet upgrade or a change, they should increase the number of nodes in order to successfully upgrade the system without any effect to the other parts of the platform. So in this case, we can see there are Kubernetes pod restarts and pod terminations. There is no effect on system load CPU and HTTP statuses. And before, because we saw the Kubernetes node statuses was increased there, we know that this is an upgrade. And because we have a multivariate system, the system was able to detect that this is normal behavior.
Okay, David, so I will sum up how I understand today. So you said that you trained the model on normal behavior. Everything which is not normal, it's anomaly in your case. And if you are, in that case, you are able to send a notification to some humans that something is happening on the system, and then that's humans which are taking care about the systems can do some preventive actions and then decrease or prevent it even happened or decrease time for the repairing. So which in the end they have value for all companies which are running IT business.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I'm good. Okay. And now you maybe observe on the internet that there are people who are saying that AI is just hype. But you are expert. You have expertise here. Can you also say us if you already see that AI? I know that AI is like broader scope, but I will use this this word right now to just simplify the things. Help you. Or help the colleagues to be more effective, to prevent something, whatever. So, give us some examples from the real world.
Yeah. So, as you stated, it really depends on the use case and which sort of AI you are using, and. When we used David's solution for anomaly detection, when it was deployed over production data, we were able in 3 cases, for example, to detect anomalies maybe 2 or 1 hour before real incidents. And it provided the useful insights to the domain experts that something is happening, and they were able to act quickly. So if we have platform such as iChange we are working on, we are not only able to detect anomalies, but we are also able to predict future failure risk for the events, and then let the application managers and application owners to know about something is happening and they should act. And also we are developing a knowledge AI assistant who is able to take the triggers like anomalies and events and prepare a root cause analysis or derive special knowledge from the system to help people to understand what really happens. And all of this is not fiction, it's not hype, it's real products that are working under the DT.
So thank you, David, that you explain us a lot of. I hope that you take this as an inspiration, and also that you join us on the next episode of Gaffer Developers. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.